Second one is silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information we need to have in order to take advantage of your grace policy by deploying your Word under the ministry of the Spirit that enables us to overcome the adversities of the devil's world and glorify you. So as we study, we ask that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, we finished Romans 1:18, and verse 19 goes on to explain. In fact, this whole next section discusses maladjustment to God's justice. And it basically verse 18 sets the table, and then 19 goes on to explain the hows and the whys. So the expanded translation of 18 is for righteous anger from God's justice. Remember, wrath by itself is an anthropopathism because God doesn't get anger. He doesn't have any emotion. That's just not what he does. But this looks like it from our perspective. You know, when he starts rendering judgment, then it's going to be challenging. that's the least I could say about that. So it's being revealed from heaven against the ungodliness or heathenism. And of course, we have ungodliness relating specifically to unbelievers. And these verses actually in this segment are primarily focused on unbelievers. And we'll see that in verse 19. Against the anti-justice, that is salvation maladjustment to God's justice, of those who suppress the truth. Key word, suppress. That comes up big time here in verse 19. Who suppress the truth, that would be the gospel. Through anti-justice, that is salvation maladjustment to God's justice. So, in essence, we're going to see in verse 19 that God reveals himself to mankind, and it's not passive, it's active. That's the one thing we need to take away from this, and we'll note that with some detail when we get to it. It's translated both ways in different translations. We'll see that as well. And I've always perceived it more passive than active, but this really explains it, and when you understand the original, it really pounds the point home. And it's interesting, today's class, is focusing on God consciousness. And what do we have on today at Breitbart? Top of the news is Gallup poll, belief in God among U.S. adults dips to an all-time low. Major decline among young adults, liberals, Democrats. Well, that's what you expect. So the point here is this is a timely discussion. And it's also going to show how culpable the nation is to this. And this is why the nation is going into the toilet rapidly. And why it's probably going to be destroyed. Sooner rather than later. Well, we'll see at the next election or so, because remember, the elections are the opportunity for the people to make an adjustment on the zeitgeist a little bit, maybe. But the deep state and all that's gone. It's history. It's toast. It's their thought is completely inverted. There is no truth in them. Is basically the way it is, and that they are correlated to the Pharisees of Jesus Day in the way they're running the show. And that's, of course, what the word says about the decline and fall of a client nation. So, verse 19. You'll note that we have the two translations. We've got the New American in the middle and the Nestle Allen text on the right side. So we're going to follow remember, the verbiage is often switched as far as the way the order of things happen, the verbs and the nouns, in between the English and the Greek. So we're going to start first word in the New American Standard, first two words, because of that. So according to that, because that is translated from the causal. So this is the reason for something happening. Causal compound construction, DOT, is the compound between dia, that's translated because, and OT, that's translated at. That, I should say. So some translations just say because, which is fine. But the New American Standard hits this one right on the head. It leads into the reason for God's wrath. Okay, that's the point. That's what's being developed. For those who are maladjusted to his justice at salvation. Remember, wrath is actually an anthropopathism because it refers to the execution of divine justice toward those who are maladjusted to God's justice as unbelievers. And the point of God consciousness is where culpability comes in. And we're going to see that people who say they're atheists or agnostic are liars. They've suppressed the truth. They knew. In fact, it's going to actually tell us God told them personally. That's the force it comes out with. So God told them to their face, XYZ, that there was a God, and they said no. It actually says they did believe, and then they didn't believe. So that tells you that those who are in that category, agnostic, atheist, whatever, were not always that way. That's why when you read this, it takes the position that when they knew God, well, how did they know God? Well, this explains that. It's pretty cool, actually. And it's very powerful because it definitely describes the culpability of the unbeliever if they get to that point in negative volition prior to even hearing the gospel. Because if they are negative at God consciousness, then they're definitely negative at the gospel. It basically is a gate that you don't get there from here, potentially. It describes punitive action from God's justice. The reason for God's punitive action is negative volition at the point of God consciousness. That's the basis for negative volition at the point of gospel hearing. So you got to be positive to God first before you can be positive to Jesus, because Jesus is God. So, and that you find people that take that viewpoint are invariably negative, well, at that juncture, are invariably negative to the gospel. Now that can change because people can change their mind. Negative volition at the point of gospel hearing means maladjustment to God's justice and no salvation. And maladjustment to God's justice at gospel hearing means unbeliever reversionism in time and divine judgment in the lake of fire in eternity. And we noted that last time, that the unbeliever, the reversionistic unbeliever gets discipline in time and eternity. The positive, or relatively positive, establishment would be the right word to use. Unbeliever has little or no judgment in time, but they're going to lake of fire. Okay, so and then you have the positive believer has very little judgment in time also, if they're positive to doctrine, and just corrective judgment. It's really, in that case, it's discipline. In fact, for all believers, it's not characterized per se as judgment. It's characterized as discipline. But it's still punitive, if you want to view it that way. The objective is to get people back on track, because you're already a believer. So for a positive believer, it's very minimal, relatively, in time and none in eternity. And for a negative, after salvation, the key issue there then becomes rebound, of course, and because that's one of the adjustment points. And if people don't rebound, then they are evaluated or disciplined in time, but for a believer, there's no discipline in eternity at all. It's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. So the only opportunity God has to discipline believers that are negative is in time. So you have warning and intensive and dying discipline for 1 Corinthians 11. The next phrase, that which is known, is translated from the, and of course we see that which is known is what the New American Standard says, translated from the nominative, singular, neuter, predicate, nominative of the verbal adjective gnoston. Remember, gnoso is one of the key words, gnosis is really the key word for knowledge. And it has all kinds of prefixes and suffixes, depending on what its target is and what the context. So we have, for example, in the generic sense of knowledge, you have gnosis, and doctrinal or spiritual knowledge is called epinosis. Okay, and you see, the process is that as you learn information, it becomes, it changes its form in your soul, and it's available for recall in certain applications under the Spirit. So it starts out as gnosis, and that's what's being referred to here since we're talking about an unbeliever. In a believer, it turns into epinosis, and then sophia is wisdom. And ultimately, you apply the doctrine you're applying as wisdom, which would be sophia, has gone through the process of being metabolized and understood and accepted as true and become a lifestyle for you. So the challenge of the believer is to develop what Joe calls will tracks of righteousness. And what that simply is neurons in your head or in your brain that facilitate certain choices along the truth. You see. And of course, the opposite can also occur. There are people who facilitate the lie, and that's what we're talking about, what's happening, going to happen here. But it all starts as gnosko, or knowledge. Gnoskon means knowledge, or to know. So what is known is a good translation. So that's, we're just affirming the New American Standard is pretty good here. In fact, all through here, the New American Standard is pretty good. Some translations, such as the King James and the New International Version, translate it what may be known. Now, this is why I note that. Let's bring up the It got me. Let's see if I can get to it. I have to widen this up to get to. Maybe I can get it here. Yeah, here it is. This will take me to the King James. And you can see what, verse 19. What may be known. You see, that, what's that add? It adds ambiguity. You know, this is the difference between active and passive. It's information that's possible to be known, but it may not be. Okay? That gives them too much room. They don't have that much room. No. Not happening. They have no room, is the point. They really don't. The unbeliever has no space for questioning God, because we're going to see why. Because there's verbs down here that say that God personally reveals it to them. So they have no excuse at all. And that's where this whole thing takes up the position it is. So some translations, such as the King James Version and the New International Version, translate it what may be known. But that's wrong, because this verse is informing us that God makes it known to them. In other words, He personally illuminates them. I mean, remember, God can do whatever He wants. Omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. I mean, there comes a point where God just has to come through for people in the case. And remember, God set this whole thing up. He allowed Satan to have the catbird seat at start at the whole get-go. In other words, people come out of the birth canal spiritually dead. Physically alive and spiritually dead. So Satan's already got a one-up on him. And then Satan builds a cosmic system that's compatible with the old sin nature. So people start out with this whole shot out of Satan's viewpoint. And God just stands back and waits. But then they reach this point called God consciousness, accountability. And this is when he drops the hammer. And he's going to drop the hammer in such a way as if you go negative, you're dead. If you stay negative before you die. You're going like a fire. End of story. And this is where he gets the authority to do that. Because remember, he won't rain hellfire down on us. Not that he does it literally, but figuratively. He won't rain hellfire down on somebody that doesn't know. You got to be responsible. That's why certain categories of people don't have, there is no judgment. We'll talk about them too. There's exceptions. So there's only two though. So, but any normal person gets this. And God, and it says, God makes it known to them in a way that they do know. And they are responsible for actively rejecting or suppressing their knowledge of God. So God has to punish them. So that's where they get put in a box. And that's where God, basically, like I said, he let Satan have his way with these people until they get to whatever age that would be of accountability. And it's different slightly in different cultures. But nonetheless, is responsible at that juncture. And any negative response that's subsequent to that is culpability. Which means like a fire, ultimately, if you stay negative. There's a non-primitive neuter definite article to that's used to relative as a relative program. So the pronoun. So the original Greek, it is translated the word as the known. And again, it's interesting when you see again. This is a monadic. We're going to talk about monadic again. Last time we talked about anarthrous. Anarthrous is a noun without the pronoun. Without pronoun, and the monadic has it, and monadic means highest quality, or unique. Anarthrous means highest quality. So here you have the information that's available to them directly from God. So this is referring to knowledge about God at God consciousness. So this is where God, like I say, He reveals Himself, and they're culpable. Period. After this, because God personally says, "You know." And who's going to question that? Well, a lot of people will question that, but at the Great White Throne, it got no standing. It's, sorry, I never knew you, is what's going to be the answer. So, of God is translated from the objective genitive of the definite article plus the objective genitive of the noun theos. Is translated from the present active and indicative of I mean. Now, that's the verb right there, that is. That's where the facts are laid on the ground. This could be a subjunctive mood. Which means maybe it will and maybe it won't. And the tense of the verb would determine that. Not tense. Mood. Sorry. The mood of the verb would determine that. This is an indicative mood, not a subjunctive. And you tell that by the way the thing is stated. So, the point is that this verb is saying this happened. God did it. And He does it personally for every individual that's born, except for those that were unable, through no fault of their own. In other words, they aren't going to have the developmental capacity development. There's people like that. Or they die. those people are automatically taken to heaven. So God's grace policy covers that because of the way he deals with it. But for everybody else who's normal, this comes to a point of order actually for them. This is a static present that takes for granted as a fact the doctrine of God consciousness. So it assumes it's so. The position that the verse takes is that you are. You can deny it all day long, but we don't accept your denial. We sent you the sheriff delivered the note to you at your front door and handed it to you, or read it to you, is maybe a better even. So the summons showed up at your door. God showed up with the summons and he read it to you. So you can deny it all day long, but we aren't accepting it. We told you. That's what this is saying. So this verb assumes that you read and look at the passage that you already understand. When you read and looked at the passage, you already stand God consciousness. So it makes that assumption. It presumes it. And that's because of the verbs that are used, or the verb. The active voice, God consciousness, let's see here, God consciousness produces the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, representing a verbal idea from the viewpoint of reality, and it makes an unqualified assertion of fact that all normal minds reach God consciousness, no exceptions. So again, we have people that say, no, I don't believe that. Well, okay. But you did once. You may have been 5 years old, but you did. You just forgot. You got pounded on by all this cosmic viewpoint that it's smothered out the truth and scar tissue formed over it, so it's not available to you. Which is what happens. I mean, it's just the same happens to the believer as does the unbeliever. I mean, heathenism comes from persistent negative volition to truth. And what happens with people who are persistent in that is eventually they can't even go. That's why you get inversion of thought. Because the truth they knew, they forgot. They rejected it first, but they rejected it so often and persistently that wheel track in their head doesn't exist. Well, it's there, but it's so little that it can't be seen. And that's what happens. And that's what we have going on in our country right now. The only exceptions are the abnormal situations where some die before reaching capacity to be accountable for God consciousness. That would be children, for example. It depends on the culture again. Or they could be moron, so they are unable to reach God consciousness. So you got two exceptions, two out clauses here. People who don't get there and people who can't get there. And it's because they had issues with being, their physical body is, their brain is not, has no capacity. So the soul that's operating in that brain can't deal with it. They're locked into whatever age they are, and it's not going to be accountable ever. So this is telling us that it's better to be a saved moron than to be an unsaved genius. that's what comes out of that. So, I mean, you might say, well, those people are at a loss. I mean, no, they aren't, because they're going to be in eternity forever, and that smart, so-called smart guy over there is really not very smart. Because he's going to like a fire forever. Which is a better plan? Well, obviously heaven's a better plan. So, for eternity. You know, you might live on this earth for 80 or 90 or 100 years. Maybe. But, as a genius, and you might have benefits associated with that in the devil's world. But, in the end, what's 80 or 90 or 100 years compared to infinity? Not much. A drop in the bucket, not even. Evident, that's the next word. It's translated, so we see, about God is evident. Is translated from the predicate nominative of the neuter singular from the phanateron, phanatos. This is often used of something where it's projected, a picture or an item is projected. It's like there's a word for it. They do it on Star Wars a lot. You just blast. I mean, you're out there talking, and it's just a picture, a thing of you in video on the screen. I forget the name of the word, but there's a word for it. But that's the word, phanatos. That's where it comes from. That, or what it's used for. It means conspicuous. That means you can clearly see this person even though they're not there. You know, like when the emperor talks to the people over yonder, and they see a ghost-like thing, picture of him, and he's there, kind of, but he's not actually there. This is kind of how it works. So it means conspicuous, clear, well-known, manifest. It refers to that what is visible to sensory perception. So there's no ambiguity about the fact that this happened. The information is communicated, but God is still in his remote state, if you want to call it that. He's still, remember, God is not, you don't see God. But God reveals himself through agencies all over the place. You know, Psalms works into what? The heavens declare the glory of God. And it goes on to a whole story about that. Well, Paul uses that idea here. And there's other ways. We know there's different ways of perception. And we'll talk about them briefly here. That's not really our topic. That the systems of perception that a person has enables them to acquire the necessary information, and God holds them responsible for it. So that's what's going on here. So when linked with the verb to be, that would be our word eimi, is, translated is, it means to be clearly perceived by the senses in such a way that's completely understood and cannot be ambiguous. So God's revelation to each individual regarding himself at the point of God consciousness is not ambiguous and cannot be. It's assumed that it is completely fulfilled, and if they went negative afterwards, it's on them. Completely responsible. So God's free to hammer the crap out of them if that's what he chooses to do, which he will do. We don't know what that means exactly, but he's going to get there when he gets there. This verb in the indicative mood tells us that if a person is normal human mind, they would have already reached God consciousness long before now. So it's assumed that if you haven't reached that point already, you're going to have a problem. Well, what would the problem be? Scar tissue of the soul. You know, if you don't have freedom, or you're in a situation of tyranny, and people are forcing things, then there can be scar tissue. That's why as a nation goes down, you end up with less and less freedom. Divine establishment provides a platform for the Word of God. And if there's no divine establishment, there's very little opportunity for people to get the information. I mean, cases in point would be, say, China today. You know, to be in a church over there, you pretty much have to be underground. Because the government is the church. They're the boss. They're the God. All right. So, I mean, that's why I've opined on occasion that maybe China's another venue for evangelism. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, given this, probably not. They're responsible. We don't have to go over there and give them the gospel again. They've had it. They rejected it. Okay. Lick a fire for you, baby. Maybe that's, I mean, you could make the case for that here. And it's the necessity of us to go evangelize them again. They've already been evangelized and they rejected it. They killed all the Christians back in the 49-50, okay, basically. And, I mean, the same thing's happening here. I mean, we're walking the walk to the communist China. That's their role model. The Chinese are the role model for the leftists in this country, if you hadn't noticed lately. Okay. So, anyways, this gives you the space to say, well, no, we don't have to do anything at all. None. They're responsible, period, end of story. If God says that they don't need it, boom. It's terminate United States and whatever and get the believers off the planet and let Satan have his way with the place for a while. So they would already have reached God consciousness long before now. And at some point in your life, they did. In their life, they did reach God consciousness, whether or not they can remember it or whether they are presently aware of it or not. See, the action here is that God clearly identified himself to them, and they subsequently went completely negative on that information and blew it away. All right, so that's where we're at. That's where they're at. And that's why you're going to get down to the next couple of verses where it says God gives them over to a reprobate mind. So he just piles on. You know, because you have accountability up to a point and ability to adjust. In other words, the change of thinking decision. But after a point, there's so little potential for the truth to get through to you because of your negative volition that it's just pile on time. Make it as bad as possible for you. That's what God will do. And then blow you away. And Pharaoh is a perfect example of that. I mean, you go back to Israel and Pharaoh and the warnings that were presented to Pharaoh. And as it gets toward the 8th, 9th, and 10th, the plagues, it goes from Pharaoh hardened his heart to God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's because Pharaoh had shut down the information so much that there was no point at this point. God was just piling on. And he ends up being dead in the sea or where when he was chasing Israel. And his kid was dead already too, because firstborns were all killed. So it basically came to an end of that nation as a primary nation during that period. The point here is God will not accept any excuse from any normal person. So that's the situation. People say no, okay, fine. You just sealed your grave. Unless you change your mind between now and the time you die. The Greek word phaneros emphasizes that this was previously hidden. So in essence, This is the gateway that God provides Satan. So this is why Satan. I always wonder why would Satan take the deal? I mean, he obviously asked for it. Okay, he's going to lick a fire. Maybe it was his only shot. I don't know. But why would Satan take the deal? Because ultimately Jesus is going to come. There's going to be salvation on the basis of grace and faith alone. I mean, God's going to really run a. He's going to flood the zone on them, and it's over. Well, but he gets a big head start. I mean, God waits till he's on the 10-yard line about make a touchdown, and he floods the zone and takes him out. I mean, it's kind of how it works, it seems, because he can run the court. He's given all the advantages for the first bunch of time, and then a lot of stuff coming later with negative volition and locked in and scar tissue in the soul. So it means it was previously hidden. God was hidden. That, remember that Satan had to take, wouldn't have taken a deal if God was hidden. If people knew, well, it says that, in fact. Paul says that. If these people had known that Jesus was the Son of God, they wouldn't have killed him. It actually says that. Because they would have known. Alright? Since they didn't know, they took the dark side. And they did kill him. So, God was hidden, and it takes on the nuance of being revealed, because what is known about God is revealed. So it's explaining something that they had previously not known. And that was fine, because they weren't told yet. But when that responsibility comes in at that age, whatever that would be for that individual based on the culture, then they're totally responsible from that point forward, because God has revealed himself to them. And the only way they can say no is if they actively go against it, which is culpability. Well, that picture's Satan, right? Satan was in the Garden of God. He was in the area of complete cognizance. He was the big man on campus. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was in the throne room. He was the guy that communicated the information that God was conveying to the angels. That's his whole mission. He was the media. Well, look what happened to our media. Talk about being on the dark side. That, you can't get what you only got. So they become Satan. Well, that's what's going on here, kind of. The person's responsible, but they go negative. And that's an active negative, an active process of going negative. Well, this duplicates Satan's sin. Why would they do that? Arrogance. Well, that was Satan. That's what he invented, was arrogance. I will become the Most High, and I'll take over and run the show. And that's what he did, or tried to do. And so this is really interesting how this actually replicates the fall of Satan in a human being. Because God actively reveals himself and makes them completely responsible, and then they say no, because they actively oppose it. In them, it's translated from, that's our next verse, within them, it's here in the Numeric Standard, is N plus the locative intensive pronoun autos. It means inside of them, in their soul or in their brain, they know no exceptions. They know, period, no exceptions. So they're informed is what it amounts to. So they're completely aware of the truth. Now again, we don't know when this happens with people, but it's just saying it does happen. And if someone's gone negative afterwards, it's because they suppress the truth. So they're responsible. Okay, that's really what I want to bring out about this. It's not like it's some passive thing that you might have found out by accident because you were inquisitive and were thinking and had ideas. So, because you have empiricism, rationalism, and faith, the three ways you can acquire this data. It's presented in all three formats. And they're responsible to become God conscious, is the point. And if they're not, it's because they personally suppress actively, personally suppressed the truth. So somewhere in them, that age group, whatever that is, that happened. Now, why it happened or how, we don't know. Satan takes over, I guess. That's the only answer, because he's had them all along. He's got all the momentum with them, so they didn't get blown away. They didn't get separated from that so that they could. Now, again, people can adjust their thinking later. That does happen. I mean, some scientists start out, you hear about them, they're agnostic or maybe atheistic. More likely agnostic. Atheistic is a little harder. So they're agnostic. They don't know. That's the position they take, even though they should know. This tells us that. But later in life, as they become, their science, actually, the science declares God. I mean, you really can't be a, I mean, you can. An objective scientist would have to come to God consciousness because of the way the universe operates. I mean, in other words, if you really know how this stuff plays and you understand it and you can explain why and the how of the environment, whatever it is, biology, physics, chemistry, I don't care what field you're in. In the end, you have to see there's a creator. Or you're just completely crazy. I mean, arrogant would be the word, not crazy. You're a brilliant person. That's why it's a genius who doesn't believe is worse off than a moron that does. Well, it doesn't have to believe because they have responsibility. But the point here is there are many, I have read of cases where scientists become believers later. They start out just accepting the zeitgeist. Because the zeitgeist of the educational system is negative at this point anyway. Maybe it wasn't always that way, but it is today in the United States. An intensive pronoun sets up a category of those who now understand something that makes them accountable for what they did understand at one point, even if they presently can't remember that they did. See, the fact that they don't know today doesn't mean they didn't know before. That's what it's saying. So they're accountable for knowing what they knew when they went negative. It doesn't matter that they don't know now. It's irrelevant. God doesn't care. He just says, okay, fine. Lick a fire for you, baby. If you are a normal human, you will reach God consciousness and you are accountable for what you understand. Also, when you hear the gospel, you are accountable for what you understand. Okay, so that, and actually the trigger point here is the gospel. But you can't get the gospel, you're not going to be positive to the gospel unless there's a God. So that it kind of, I mean, obviously if you're unbeliever or don't believe there's a God at all, then why do you need Jesus? You don't. You see, that's the point. Negative volition at the point of God consciousness creates immediate maladjustment to God's justice and culpability for judgment, for God's judgment in time and eternity. So for God, that would be the next phrase. For God, we see that. Because, remember, for is, was going to be gar. This is, we've seen this at the beginning of almost every verse we've seen so far here in this book. And that could be translated because. It's the same one. The post-positive conjunction particle gar is used as explanatory conjunction. So it's explaining why. Okay, so here, because. You can put a because in there and that would be a good way to explain. But for is good. I mean, we use it that way. It's the reason. Is the thing. It's the reason. This is the reason why we're making this statement. For or because God, that would be the Greek word gar, that is used as an explanatory conjunction, is used to explain the phenomenon of God consciousness. The nominative subject of a definite article plus the proper noun for God, ho theos. Now it's interesting that ho theos is not in the translation, and that's okay. That it does add emphasis if you have it. If you go over here and look at this in the Nestle-Yowen text, it's right here. There's the ho right there, and there's God. There's our word theos. Okay, so that's that phrase in this. And you notice it's there. There's the God in that translation. Now that's exact word for word what's going on here. The New American Standard doesn't put the God in there, and that's okay. But there's a reason why you might actually want it there. And I'll explain that in a minute here. So the point is that kind of emphasizes what's going on. So for ho theos, the God, this is a monadic statement as opposed to an arthrous, that is the God is unique. So the God made this understandable to them. Now who would be the unique God? Jesus. I mean, in the Old Testament when you see the God, Adonai Elohim, he's just described as a unique individual. In fact, the Shema, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, that says, the Lord, Lord is God, the Lord is unique. Though it can also be translated one. In fact, it's mistranslated one a lot of times, and people don't really get it. It means it's unique. Well, who is the unique God? There's only one unique God. That would be Jesus, because he's what? He's God and man in one person. He's the one who actually runs the show here, ultimately. I mean, the entire universe is placed under his authority in the end. And kind of is already, but he's just allowing evil people to run the show. That would be the Satan and his minions. So the point, and he's allowing us to do this, well, he's allowing humans, the state of what we call decision. There's another word for it. I can't remember at the moment. But we're in this state, this situation where you can make a choice, yes or no, and you don't get blasted. You can say no to God now and not die. Well, at some point you're going to say no to God and you're going to die. I mean, you're going to go somewhere. Probably the second death. Right? So the point is that we're in this state of, we're on the bubble, if you want to call it that. And God's permitting this. It's called the permissive will of God. But the one who's really running this show is this Lord God who is unique. And that, again, would be Jesus. So he's the one that's making the statement, basically. Through, I mean, the Holy Spirit's revealing it to Paul. But remember, the Holy Spirit came to represent Jesus or communicate what Jesus would have to say. So if Jesus was in front of Paul talking, this is what he'd be telling him. So anyway, that puts more emphasis on the unique God. He made it evident. This unique God, that would be Jesus, made it evident. This is an aorist tense. Now that's also interesting too, aorist. Remember aorist? That's a punctiliar tense. That means that you believe something and then you don't believe it and still believed it. I mean, that's Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Aorist. What do you get from that? Well, it's a verbal form of saying once saved, always saved. In other words, if you believe once for a microsecond that Jesus is the Son of God and then you later, 5 minutes later, you say, no, I don't believe that. You're already saved and it's irrevocable. See, that's how the aorist works. So you can't undo an aorist. Well, this is what's happening here. These guys had an aorist. God did an aorist on them. They believed. They had no choice, basically. This is him disclosing himself. And they're responsible now. Once and for all. Done. Aorist active indicative from the verb efferention. That means to reveal oneself, for God has revealed it to them himself. Well, that would be Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, of course. Because this operates in common grace. This is an aorist active indicative, and the voice does not indicate the reflexive connotation. It is built into the verb. So it's something that occurs, and if it's rejected later, it doesn't matter. Say, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, a couple of people that are noted, have been celebrities in my lifetime, have converted from Christianity to Islam. They're saved. All right? They believed in Jesus and Christianity. Now, then, because of their negative volition to the Christianity, they didn't understand what... Nobody taught them what it was about. Nobody who understands Christianity would ever convert to Islam. Sorry, not happening. If you really understand Christianity, you're not going anywhere. Because this is where the party is. And people who convert to some other religious thing after they're a Christian, they're saved and going to heaven, but they don't understand Christianity at all. They were never taught the truth. Or they accept this, or they didn't learn it, or didn't accept it when it was taught after salvation. So these are people that never rebounded. Okay? And there's a couple, three of them that I can think of that were big time celebrities at one time. And that happens. It doesn't happen because it can happen. But because they had a perverted view of what Christianity, a religious perverted view of what Christianity is, which it's not. They converted to some other religion. Well, Christianity is not a religion, never was. But there is a Christian religion, which is wrong and false and evil, and no better than Islam in reality. Other than you might believe in Jesus there at some point and get saved, but the rest of your life is going to be a miserable place because it's not anything true. It's a lie. Okay, and you aren't going to hear anything about Jesus in Islam. So in this one sense, it's better than that, but not by much when it comes to the spiritual life. Okay, so for an unbeliever or for a child, it's the Christian religion would be better. Because they're going to hear about Jesus and they might actually, right here we're talking about it. God's going to cut through all that crap and they're going to learn about Jesus maybe and believe in Jesus and be saved. But for the spiritual life, if they stay with that outfit, it's going to be a disaster. Because what? They're going to be under discipline from God from the get-go because of their rejection of truth. You see, so you can see why a person like that would convert, maybe. Less pressure. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying. But you see it happening. But this would never happen to a person who understands the truth. They, well, persistently understand. Remember, the rate of learning has to exceed the rate of forgetting. So the point is here that it's evident. It means to reveal oneself from God revealed it to them himself. He personally did this. And this would call under the category of common grace. This is an aorist active indicative. The voice does not indicate the reflexive connotation that's built into the verb. The aorist tense is a comative aorist that views God conscious in its entirety, but regards it from the viewpoint of an existing result that sets up culpability for God's justice. So basically, this aorist tense is used in Acts 16:31. And so people are saved, even though if they believe in Jesus as a young person, they're saved, they're going to heaven. And whatever happens after that doesn't matter. It matters because of the spiritual life. That as far as their salvation, going to heaven don't matter. Because that's irrevocable. Once you're saved, period, end of story. God is holding you as saved. Okay? That's the issue. It ain't about you, and it ain't about anybody else. It's about God. And in this case, it ain't about you, and it ain't about anybody else. It's about God. And God's revealed himself to you in your responsible period. We don't care what anybody else says. Because we did. God did it. Okay? God did it. So he reveals himself to every human being, past, present, and future, who develops mental capacity to be God-conscious. So every normal person is responsible, no exceptions. So people say there's an exception. No, there's no exception. No exception. The active voice, God himself reveals himself through the functions of the system of perception. That would be faith, rationalism, and empiricism. So he actually does those all three simultaneously. And you can go into any one of these categories and dig it up and see how he does that. That's why different people get the information differently, but you can actually get it all three simultaneously if you want to. The indicative mood is a declaration for the dogmatic assertion of undeniable absolute truth. Unto them. That's the next. Within them is the way it's dead in... we already did that one. Let's see. Yeah, but this is one down here. For God made it evident to them. Unto them. And the unto is not in the New American Standard. It translated from the dative plural indirect object of the word intensive pronoun autos, emphasizing the identity of the human race as a beneficiary of God consciousness. The indirect object emphasizes the one in whose interest God consciousness occurs. That would be everybody. See, since this is the first gate when it comes to salvation, it's really important. And this is where culpability comes in. And people are responsible. Period. So, it is to the advantage of every thinking person in the human race to reach the point of God consciousness. So, autos is translated to them. That's the last two words in that book. So, the expanded translation we have. Because what is known about God is revealed to them, that would be God consciousness. For God, or because God, has revealed himself to them. Okay? So, that's telling us that God personally, and Jesus Christ personally, through the Holy Spirit, reveals himself to every person that reaches the age of accountability. And they're responsible from that point forward. And if they choose wrong, they're going to the lake of fire. Period. No exceptions. If they choose right, then they get to hear the gospel. Well, they maybe get to hear the gospel anyway. But if they're negative here, they're never going to make it. Because they're actually fighting God right here. They're at war with God. And guess what? God's at war with them too. God makes war against the arrogant. So this verse tells us dogmatically that no person with normal processes of mentality has any excuse that will be accepted by God's justice. It tells us that God consciousness applies to all normal people without exception. It tells us that volition at God consciousness determines the adjustment or maladjustment to God's justice of salvation. See, you get right back to the point of issue here. That would be volition. Freedom. Freedom to make an uncoerced choice. The only exceptions are the abnormal situations such as those children who die before reaching accountability for God consciousness, who are automatically saved, and those who are morons and therefore cannot ever reach God consciousness because they don't have the normal mental capacity, human mental capacity so they are automatically saved. So see, God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of grace. And he doesn't hit on someone who can't get there. So if you don't have the capacity to get to that status of being responsible, then you're saved. And that's why David said of this child that the first child that he had with Bathsheba, you know, as a result of his rape, he died before age 8, so he never got a name. And what did he say? He will not come to me, but I will go to him. See, that's true. And that's what happens. So if you have a child that dies early, or you have a person that can't believe in your life, that's good. I mean, and they die, it's you're going to, if you're saved, you're going to them, him or her, as the case may be. They're not coming back. And of course, they would never come back. They would never want to, because you got a perfect body up there. You're not suffering all this problem that you had, that they had here. So, you know, it's a blessing from God when that happens to, for them, because they're out of this place and out of that. In that case, basically a body of tyranny, because the soul can't function there properly. God's justice automatically makes provision for salvation for those who cannot reach the point of accountability for God's consciousness. There are no other exceptions, because God personally forces, and that's what we're going to get to in the next verse, everyone who can be God conscious to be God conscious. In other words, they have to reach that point. They have to reach it. And they do, because God says they do. And omniscience can't lie. I'm sorry. If he knows it all, he knows. And you can say no all day long, it don't matter. He knows. So you go back to the essence of God, and he's got it covered. So everyone who can be God conscious is God conscious. They disagree later, but it doesn't matter. There are no acceptable exceptions or excuses. Verse 20 tells us how God forces this disclosure. And that's what we'll pick up next time. Verse 20. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, and the blessing it is for us to understand it, recognizing that you put us in a position where we are culpable, responsible, and given the opportunity of freedom to make a choice for you. We thank you for the fact that we've done that, and ask that you would work towards that objective, and we know you do, because you desire that all men to be saved. And help us to recognize that that is how it is, that you're in the business of saving people, and the only people that aren't saved are people who actively reject you, because they have been completely befuddled and deceived by Satan. We thank you for this information now, and ask you to help us to take it with us. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.